Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This week, I am continuing to talk about how you can fulfill God's will in your life. I've been teaching for over a month about how to find God's will, how to follow God's will, that's being led by the Spirit. And now we're talking about how to fulfill. And this is, of course, supposing that you've taken those first two steps. And I believe that this is probably as important or more important than anything else. Of course, you can't fulfill God's will if you don't know what it is. So if you haven't found God's will, maybe finding God's will is the most important thing for you right now. But once you find God's will, you've got to learn how to follow and be led by God. And then ending your course, finishing your course is so important. Look at what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul said he had fought a good fight. He had finished his course. You know, I think that there's very, very, very few people that actually finish what God has called them to do. In the Bible, you can go back to Elijah. Elijah was a man who was mightily used of God. I mean, he called fire down from heaven. He is the first person in Scripture that saw a person raised from the dead, 1 Kings chapter 17. He ended a drought. He did all of these awesome things. But did you know in 1 Kings chapter 19, God spoke three things to Elijah and told him to go anoint Hazael to be king of Syria, Jehu to be king of Israel, and Elisha to be prophet in his place. And Elijah was so depressed and discouraged. He'd been saying, God, take away my life. I'm not fit to live. And he was so depressed that all he did was go get his successor, his replacement, and he anointed him. But he didn't anoint Hazael and Jehu, and his successor, Elisha, had to do that. You can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 8 and chapter 9. And so even this great man of God, Elijah, didn't finish his course. He couldn't say what Paul said, that I have run the race. I have finished my course. He didn't finish his course. He didn't do everything that God called him to do. God had to raise up somebody else. Moses, who was a man mightily used of God, and of course, most of us are familiar with the story with Moses, but Moses was called by God to lead the children not only out of Egypt, but into the Promised Land, but because of his disobedience. And he didn't trust God. He smote the rock instead of talking to it the way that God told him to do. Therefore, Moses never fulfilled everything that God had for him. He had to raise up Joshua to bring the people into the Promised Land. You know, it's more rare for people to finish what God called them to do than it is for people to start doing what God called them to do. Many start, but very few finish. And I tell you, I want to be one that I want to say with the Apostle Paul that I have finished my course. And man, I did what God called me to do. When it's my turn to die and to go on and be with Jesus, I don't want to have anything left on the inside of me that God gave me to be a blessing to other people. Man, I want to empty myself out. I want to use up every ounce of the anointing that God has given me. I don't want there to be anything undone that God gave me to do. I pray that that's the same with you. So it's important that you not only find God's will and start in that direction, but it's very important that you finish God's will. And I don't believe it's going to happen accidentally. We've got everything stacked against us. I mean, we have an enemy. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. We've got demonic opposition against us. And I'm not talking about only ministers, but it doesn't matter. If God calls you to be the CEO of a company, if he calls you to be the parent of a child or whatever it is, there is demonic opposition against you fulfilling God's call on your life. And it's not going to happen without determination on your part. If you don't plan to to finish your course, then you're planning to fail. Because I can guarantee you, everything is stacked against you. It's going to take the supernatural power of God to enable you to finish and fulfill your course and do everything. You know, Jesus, as he hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He had fulfilled everything that God told him to do. He hadn't left anything undone. He even said, "I thirst," so that they could give him a sponge filled with vinegar so that the prophecy might be fulfilled. I mean, he did everything down to the last little detail. He fulfilled it all. And you know what? God has called us to not only find his will and start in that direction, but also to fulfill it. And I just feel in my heart that there's many people watching this program that God has touched your life. You've moved in that direction, but you've just gotten weary and you feel like fainting in your mind. And I'm telling you, don't quit. Don't quit. Just keep going. You know, there's a friend of mine, Bob Nichols, who pastors Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Texas. And it's a long story, but I was at this conference that was being held at his church. His church seated about 2,000 people. I had met him one time before, and I didn't feel like it was a very good situation. I won't go into all of that. But anyway, I had met him before, but I was in this group of 2,000 people. There were these rows in his church that were probably 20 or 30 seats in a row. I was sitting dead in the center of that row. I wasn't convenient for anybody to get to. And I was so discouraged. I was weary and I was feeling like fainting in my mind. And I was, they were having this conference and all of the well-known speakers were up there on stage prophesying to each other and encouraging each other and stuff. And I was sitting out there thinking, "God, I need to be encouraged more than any of these people up here. And all they're doing is ministering to each other." And I just felt like nobody knew me, nobody cared or anything. And then they had this time where they said, "Go around and greet one another." And Pastor Bob Nichols, he was the host of this at his church. He got off the stage. He saw me out of 2,000 people in this auditorium. He pushed his way through about 15 or 20 people to get over to me. And he hugged me. And he wouldn't let me go. After everybody else had sat down and the greeting time was over, he still had me standing up and he was just saying, "Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit," over and over. And he didn't know me. We had met that one time, but he didn't know my situation. This was God that just singled me out, and this man just told me, "Don't quit." And you know what? That encouraged me that, praise God, if he believes in me, if the Lord sent him over and told him to do that, then praise God, I can do it. And I got up and just decided I'm going again. And I refused to quit. I tell you, this is an important piece. If you want to fulfill God's will, you ought to just make a sign or something and put it up on your mirror. It says, "Don't quit." If you don't quit, it says, "In due time, in due season, we will reap if we faint not." But if you faint, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 says this fainting takes place in your mind. If you faint or get weary in your mind, then you know what? You don't necessarily win. You will not see the fulfillment. You are going to have to just drive a stake in the ground and say, "I'm not quitting. I refuse to quit. I'll die before I quit. I am going to do what God called me to do." You know, I was using that example one time and I had a man come to me and he says, "Do you know where that expression, drive a stake in the ground, came from?" And I said, "No." And he said it came from the American Indians. I forgot which tribe of Indians it was, but they said that when they got in an overwhelming situation, that they would literally drive a stake in the ground and tie a rope to that stake and then tie the rope around their foot so that the warriors could not retreat, that they would have to stand and fight to the death. They just drove a stake in the ground, and "I'll die here, or I'll either win the battle, but I am not retreating." And that's the way that you've got to be. You've got to find out what God has called you to do. You got to move in that direction, and when the opposition comes, you just stand. And having done all to stand, you just continue to stand. And you build yourself up and encourage yourself in the Lord and do all of these things. Man, that's powerful. You know, I could just spend all of this week trying to get you encouraged and just encourage you. But I've got so much more I want to share. But I can't overestimate how that your attitude is going to determine your altitude. It's going to determine whether or not you see the will of God actually come to pass in your life. I want to go to this. One of the very first things, and I think that this needs to be said, if you are going to not only find God's will and then start following, but if you're going to fulfill it, this is so simple, you got to have somebody to help you to misunderstand this, but this is profound. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." And I just want to make a very simple statement that if you are going to fulfill God's will for your life, you're going to have to obey God. You're going to have to follow His instructions. That is so simple. You shouldn't have to have somebody tell you that. But I tell you, I am amazed at how many people will not do what God told them to do, and yet they want the right results. That's just crazy. You know, I have been preaching grace for 4 decades. I have been criticized and rejected over it and stuff, and sometimes I have felt, I know that that's not true, but like Elijah, I felt like, Lord, I'm the only one. But now we live in an age where there are a lot of people now beginning to preach grace, and I praise God for it. I mean, the revelation of God's unconditional love and grace is just exploding. But now I see people that used to criticize me for being greasy grace. Now there are people that are criticizing me as being a legalist because I will say something like, you have to obey God to see His perfect will come to pass in your life. At one time, it was like everybody was way over here into legalism. Now people, there are many people that have come into the grace of God, and some are now beginning to go to an extreme over here to where they're saying, you don't have to obey God. You don't have to do anything. Everything just works without you doing anything. That is just as wrong as this legalistic approach on the other side. You know, I've used this example many times, but where I live, there's a dirt road and they have these big old bar ditches on each side of the road for drainage. And if you start into one ditch, if you overcorrect and pull the car too far in the other direction, you'll hit the ditch on the other side. If you want to get to where you're going, you can't hit just one ditch or the other. You got to go right down the middle. And likewise, if you want to fulfill God's will for your life, you can't be a legalist over here and just get into works and be under guilt and condemnation. But on the other hand, you can't get over here and think that, well, it doesn't matter what I do. It's just all the grace of God. I have nothing to do with it. If you are going to fulfill God's will for your life, you need to obey God's direction for your life. Again, that is so simple. You should not have to have somebody tell you that. But today, we've got people that are perverting the true gospel and the true grace of God. And they're telling you that it doesn't matter what you do. You can go live in sin. You can do anything you want to. Let me say it this way, that I do believe that God, because of grace, if you are truly born again, God's grace doesn't fluctuate towards you based on your performance. If it did, then it wouldn't be grace. God is going to love you regardless of what you do. If you don't finish your course, if you don't fulfill what God has called you to do, did you know God's love for you is going to be just the same? And I agree with that. But to say that your actions are unimportant is totally wrong, because even though God's grace will still be towards you, if you yield yourself to sin, then you yield yourself to the author of that sin, which is Satan. And he comes for no other purpose but to steal, kill, and to destroy. John 10:10 says that. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." If you yield yourself to sin, you are yielding yourself to the devil, who has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And Satan is going to stop you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life. It has nothing to do with the grace of God. God will love you just as much whether you fulfill His purposes for your life or not. But man, I don't want to have just God, you know, be merciful and gracious to me. I want to respond in a way that I am not going to let Satan short circuit my life or my ministry or keep me from doing what God called me to do. I am not going to give place to the devil. It is just crazy the way some people are living. And again, I go back to that scripture I just quoted, Romans 6:16. When you yield yourself to a sin, you are yielding yourself to the devil. You know, if people could really see this, most people have a detachment. They don't see that their actions over here are causing this problem over here. They just can't seem to connect those dots. But man, you need to recognize that when you go out and live in sin, you have just thrown the door open to the devil. You are asking the devil to just do his worst in your life. And if you could see that, if you could really get a revelation of that, then I can guarantee you it would make a difference in the way you act. I know many people that just watch things on television. They will look at pornographic stuff. They will read these cheap novels that solicit and excite all kinds of lust and desires. And they don't realize that by doing that, they're just opening a door to the devil and asking the devil to come shoot his best shot at you. You know, I believe that God heals us by grace. It's independent of what we deserve. God doesn't give us what we deserve. He is willing to move in our life. But does that mean that it doesn't matter whether you follow God or not? No, because every time you go out and violate your conscience and do something that you know is intentionally wrong, you have just given Satan an inroad into your life. And it says over in Hebrews chapter 12, I've already used these verses this week, but it says that we are supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It's, of course, sin is wrong, but not only things that are just out and out sin. There are a lot of things that are weights. They may not be sin in itself, but it is not conducive to you living a Christian life. It's not conducive to you finishing your course and fulfilling God's will. You need to lay aside not only direct disobedience to God, but you need to quit doing things that give Satan an inroad into your life. That's like a person running a race and you've got a big old ball and chain tied to your ankle. You might be able to cross the finish line, but I can guarantee you will not win the race. You are not going to do that if you have all of these weights that are holding you back. And there are Christians that because of grace... And again, I am not against grace. I am a grace preacher. But there are people that have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness and just used it as an excuse to go do whatever because after all, God loves me. You are like a runner that's got a huge weight around your ankle. And you may cross the finish line. You may get to heaven. But you aren't going to win. You aren't going to see God's will come to pass in your life because Satan is out to destroy you. He's as an adversary, and he's seeking how he can destroy you, how he can keep you from fulfilling what God wants to do in your life. And if you're going to succeed, you're going to have to quit giving place to the devil. Again, this is so simple, you would think that people wouldn't have to have this said, but I know a number of people. I've had people come to our Bible colleges in different places, and they have been starting teaching that you don't have to live holy. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to live holy in order to have God love you. You don't have to live holy in order to have God call you to do something. But if you are going to fulfill and finish your course with joy, you are going to have to live a holy life. You are going to have to seek God. You are going to have to put God first. And I know that there's some people probably watching this program who are thinking, well, I thought you were a grace preacher. I am a grace preacher. But I believe that grace, as it says over here in Titus chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And here's what grace teaches us. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." Grace teaches people to live a godly life. Any person who is using grace and talking about the grace of God and using it for an excuse for them to go living things that are expressly forbidden and condemned in God's Word, they are not following the true grace of God. They are into a demonic deception. I actually know one guy who preaches on grace, and he's a good grace preacher. I believe the guy is born again. I don't know that for sure, but I believe he is. But he has actually used grace to promote, not just love people in this lifestyle, but promote a homosexual lifestyle, because after all, God is gracious. I actually heard a guy one time who was the head of the Satanist church in America. And he was interviewed on some news broadcast. I saw it on television. And they asked him, "You use the Bible. How could you use the Bible and worship Satan?" And you know what he did? He took a verse that says you're supposed to love your enemies. He says, "Who is our enemy but the devil?" Satan is the greatest enemy that the church has. And so I'm just doing what the Word says. I'm loving my enemy. And he used Scripture to try and justify being a Satanist and being the head of the first church of Satan. That is just crazy how people can twist things. And likewise, people have twisted the grace of God to where it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter as far as God's love for you or His calling upon your life. Romans 11, 29, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God is not going to remove His calling on your life if you go live in sin. He's not going to quit loving you if you live in sin. That's grace. But I can guarantee you, if you live in sin, you have just thrown the door open to the devil. He is going to come steal, kill, and to destroy. And if you don't learn to obey God and do what God tells you to do, you will not fulfill God's will for your life. That does not undo the grace of God at all. It just means that we are saved by grace, that's God's part, through faith, that's our part. And if you don't do your part, if you don't follow God and follow His leading and obey what He tells you to do, you will not see God's will fulfilled in your life. Again, this is so simple. In a sense, I just can't imagine that people think the way that they do, but I encounter this all the time. So I think it's important to make this point. That you know what? You aren't smart enough to run your own life, to lean under your own understanding. You need to follow God. You need to humble yourself and follow His directions. And when you do things His way instead of your way, you will prosper and you will see good success. You are going to have to balance grace and faith and put these two things together. And I tell you, there's people, I'm sure, that watching this program. I know God didn't put this on my heart to say to all of the people who aren't watching this program. There are some of you watching right now that you are sloppy in the way that you're living. You're doing things that give Satan a direct inroad into your life, and then you're wondering why you're struggling. Man, that's just crazy. That's just crazy. Your adversary is trying to destroy you, and if you cooperate with him instead of cooperating with God, it's going to stop you from fulfilling God's will in your life. As you can tell, I'm not in our studio today, but instead we're up in Woodland Park, Colorado, at the place that I've named the Sanctuary. And we're in the process of building a Charis Bible College facility. And I'm just convinced that this is what God has led me to do. I spent 4 hours today ministering in our Charis Bible College, and I tell you, it's exciting. I had a number of people come up to me and just tell about how this had just totally changed their life. And we see this happen every single day. So I am committed to taking the things that God has shown me and putting it into this Bible college. And so this is the first step. And I believe that together we're going to get it done and God is going to be changing people's lives.
Imagine a place where people from all walks of life can build upon a firm foundation of God's truth. A place of balance between knowledge of Scripture and practical, hands-on ministry. Where discipleship is a way of life and fellowship with God and man is like breathing fresh mountain air. Imagine. Karis Bible College, Colorado. Later this year, our new campus in Woodland Park, Colorado, is scheduled to open its doors to a brand new group of potential world changers as they embark on a life-changing journey to carry the good news of God's unconditional love, grace, and mercy to a world that is hungry for truth. Now is the time to call, write, or go to our website to join our family of ministry supporters. No one else can fill your place. Andrew is appealing to those of you who have been touched by this ministry to help him build this building debt-free. Our helpline workers are waiting for your call. Don't miss your opportunity to become a world changer today. Every gift makes you a vital part of everything taking place at the new Karis Bible College campus. Remember, you are the key, and there is no plan B.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. This teaching is also available in three separate companion study guides, How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. They're perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only are the entire teachings included in the study guides, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CDs. Each of these valuable resources is available for a gift of $20 or more when you contact us. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today's audio teaching is titled Learn to Obey. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of May, he'll be in Telford, England, and in Mumbai and Goa, India. In June, he'll be ministering for the first time in Chennai, India, and he'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the Association of Related Ministries International Conference. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.